Hey, a very good morning to everyone out there. Hollywood Nomar Kelly in for Joe and Zach this morning. NBA free agency is heating up.
LeBron sweepstakes, baby.
LeBron is in Anguilla jumping off of cliffs. The news and all kinds of rumors are flying here. Stephen A. Smith had some stuff yesterday. We'll play that for you in a couple of minutes. Chris Sheridan had some stuff as well, although you got to take this stuff for what it is at this point. They really are just rumors, and I think LeBron has an idea, either has an idea or knows what he's doing at this point, and it's going to be incredibly interesting to see which domino falls first, because there's a couple different dominoes here to come into play. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is one of the big ones. Everyone kind of forgets about Kevin Durant.
He's not because a domino.
He came, well, yes, he is. He absolutely is. Because Kevin Durant came out and said that he is going to re-sign with the Warriors. Wants to make it work with the Warriors. Now this stuff comes out yesterday that says LeBron texted Kevin Durant. Wants to feel that one out. Is that enough to lure Kevin Durant away? Again, I don't know why he would want to leave. I do too. I don't know why he would want to leave Golden State. That would make no sense at all to me. So I think he stays in Golden State. Kawhi Leonard is going to be another big domino to fall here. And does San Antonio feel the need to deal him right now?
I mean, I think the offer would have to be first domino.
But the offer would have to be overwhelming almost, I would think.
Does it really?
I think
they just need two good players. If Cleveland puts if the Celtics put Jason Tatum on a package, they're like, I'm in.
So it's going to be interesting to see it. Jason Tatum, it was talked about yesterday, is not available right now to be traded.
Just
so
because
that, Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe said that yesterday, that he had sources that said that they're not looking to move Jason Tatum right now. And that'll be another kind of domino to fall. So the Celtics, is it the Lakers? Who's going to make the first big offer here? And we'll talk to Gary Washburn at 9 o'clock
would you rather
this morning.
Have Jason Tatum or Kawhi Leonard?
I'd rather have Jason Tatum at this point. I know that sounds crazy to some people.
I would too. I actually would too.
Yeah, I mean, the kid is young.
He's young and cheap.
Burst onto the scene. Kawhi, to me, is a big, it's a high risk, high reward at this point.
Especially if you don't know if he's going to commit to re-signing. And I don't think he's going to commit to re-signing with
but it's not when you just come that.
Out, when you come out and you say, I'm specifically only going to sign with the Lakers. What? No matter what, I want to be traded to the Lakers.
You got to have a team that has big coconuts. You got to be a team like the Heat. You know, you got to be a team like the Celtics, who thinks that once we get him in the door, we're gonna show this guy what our organization is all about, and he's gonna sign here. Now, I would advise this: the Spurs are known as one of the best franchises in professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
They have arguably the best coach in basketball.
Okay.
Over there. The Spurs are not like, it's not like he's coming from the Kings and you're going to be like, oh, we're going to show him what a real franchise is. Like, the Heat and the Spurs are pretty much on level footing here, right? The Celtics are on level footing. Celtics are a really good franchise. The Lakers have been bad for a little while here, ever since Kobe and his little farewell tour. The Lakers have been pretty much irrelevant, but they do have young pieces on that team. They have
one
some
of the
draft
great dynasties
picks
in,
they
in...
can deal should they choose to. So, I think those are going to be the big question marks, and we're going to see those answered here over the next few days, and the rumors will be flying. Someone's got to be outside LeBron's house. Brian Windhorst is going to say, oh, LeBron has a small moving chair. There's a U-Haul in front of LeBron's house, or there's one of those auto transports in front of LeBron's house. He's moving his cars. We saw that last time. LeBron moved his cars out of his house.
That's when I knew it was real.
Yeah, that's when you know it's like officially real for LeBron. So again, there's so many different dominoes to fall.
Does LeBron get a new Kia every city, or does he just or does he need to move his Kia?
It was kind of funny. We talked about if LeBron takes his Kia to the games, and they got to be careful with those cameras they get back there, because LeBron popped out of a Rolls Royce every game I saw in the playoffs. He was popping out of the Rolls Royce Phantom with a driver in the front. He did not take his own Kia to the games.
Hey, he's got to drive his own Kia.
Yeah.
Sometimes, hey, I don't want LeBron James driving if he's going to have to play 48 minutes a game.
So all these guys have all these different reports. The Heat are hopefully going to be involved in this thing extent.
Do you buy that? Because I
do. I think the Heat are involved in this thing. I think the Heat will make their whatever pitch they'll they're allowed pitch. To make you, because LeBron is not going to be taking the big meetings this year. And why should he? LeBron knows what everyone has to offer at this point, right?
Here's, you know, we talked about the Chris Sheridan report, which basically says that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra
says don't count him out. It says don't count on. Stephen A. said that they all met in Miami, which I don't think is true. And even if it is, it's massive.
We all know LeBron was
tampering.
Here.
Yeah, he was. But again, that is a huge, huge tampering allegation. Should that be true? I mean, you're not allowed to do that.
No. And I think Pat Riley's veteran enough, savvy enough to know not to do that. And,
yeah,
and
I agree with that. And here, so I don't know where Stephen A. Stephen A. at the end of it. Do we have this? Do we have this from Stephen A.? Stephen A. at the end of this thing, it's really weird. He goes, well, I don't know if it's true. I don't know who he gets this stuff from. I mean, I imagine he trusts. And he's usually right. Let's listen to Stephen A. Smith.
He's been the most
yesterday.
Right of anybody when it comes to LeBron James.
Here's Stephen A.
But I will tell you what some folks reached out to me.
Some folks, that's
about
the first discredit.
5 minutes ago during the break and said to me, LeBron, it's believed Cleveland and L.A. are what it's coming down to. It's believed that he reached out to Kevin Durant and inquired about his willingness to come to L.A. Mm-hmm. It's believed that he's told the Lakers to try and get Kawhi Leonard in order because he wanted to see what players are coming there before he makes a decision as to whether or not to go to
that's
got to
be true.
I also just been told LeBron James has been seen in Miami.
Need
with
Miami
Pat
for
Riley
leverage.
And Eric Spoelstra. I have no clue whether that's true or not. I'm here doing my radio show.
All right, so that's from the Stephen A. Smith show on ESPN Radio yesterday.
They need Miami for leverage. Don't they?
No. There's no leverage at all. I don't buy any of that stuff.
Nobody believes he's scanned in Cleveland.
I don't. I also don't buy that LeBron met with Riley and Spo. I don't think.
No.
That happened because again, that would be tampering. I mean, LeBron, for all intents and purposes, been in Anguilla this entire week. I know he was down here.
No, he left the tournament.
Well, he was down here. Last weekend?
Didn't this weekend?
I think it was
yeah.
last weekend, but he's been on that trip. So. If he were to have met with those guys, it is tampering. I don't know what the penalty would be. We'll track down Ira. We'll get a kind of an emergency report here in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll figure out exactly what's going on. Texas says don't believe what Stephen A. says. Stephen A. has been really good at this
Stephen
stuff.
Stephen A. has been the most credible really and insightful person for the last 8 years when it comes to the LeBron James sweepstakes.
And his sources are not bad. So, you got to take what Stephen A. says. You have to give him some credit for the stuff that he's been right about over the years. Mike Florio, by the way, is going to join us next.
He's predicted where LeBron James is going for the last 8 years.
Yes, he has. So Mike Florio is going to join us
for
next.
Every decision.
And we're going to get into this Jameis Winston thing with him. This is a really weird story here. Jameis Winston basically came out and apologized yesterday. The Bucks released a statement in which Jameis Winston issues an apology to the Uber driver. Now, he comes out and says, first and foremost, I'd like to say, I'm sorry to the Uber driver for the position I put you in. It's uncharacteristic of me, and I genuinely apologize. Now, there's a couple of ways to look at this, and we're going to get Mike's opinion on this one. And this is really weird. Is he apologizing for sexually assaulting her? Because it doesn't say what he's apologizing for. That's a little bit weird.
Lawyer
and this
talk.
Uncharacteristic thing, Jameis, I have bad news for you, man. Like, this is kind of the rap on you these days, man. Like, people think Jameis Winston has issues because going back to FSU, right? In a story that I think a lot of people didn't really buy Jameis' side of. So this is really weird.
A lot of people
that he
buy
would
side.
Come out and apologize to the Uber driver who he allegedly grabbed and sexually assaulted when he said he didn't do anything. So did you do something? Are you what are you apologizing for? And then the league suspended him 3 games. I don't know where they get that number 3 from. And he just accepted it. Not going to fight it. Taking the suspension.
Yeah.
So what the hell happened here?
What a smart quarterback does.
Well, what happened here?
Made a business decision.
Did he do it? Did he not do it?
Does it matter?
Did he apologize? Yeah, it matters.
How?
Yeah, it
Why?
Matters. Because the NFL, I thought, had a policy against this kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
What, until it's a high-profile quarterback, it's not the policy anymore?
No, they just want this to go away, as the NFL does with all controversial situations. And when you have a one of 32 starting quarterbacks who's been accused of rape previously, now allegedly sexually assaulting an Uber driver, Dangerous territory.
So what is this? Jameis now saying he's eliminated alcohol from his life?
Yeah, we don't know how.
Always need something to blame it on, right?
Hey, what's that song? Blame It on Alcohol?
Yeah, exactly.
T-Pain.
All right, so we have a ton going on here this morning. The World Cup will sleep for today. It will ramp back up tomorrow with the elimination rounds. The World Cup has been awesome so far. The ratings in Miami have been huge. Miami, the number one market in the country for the Spanish broadcast over at Telemundo, and number two in the country for the English broadcast. So the World Cup has been a huge success here, especially in South Florida, and the ratings have been really big. So that's kind of cool to see, especially because Miami is about to get not only their own soccer team, but next month we're going to have some big soccer matches at Hard Rock Stadium. So there's a lot of good things with soccer going on, but we were going to switch gears here from this NBA stuff. And like we always do on Fridays, we're going to talk with Mike Florio. He's going to join us a little earlier here. He's going to come up next, and we'll jump into this Jameis Winston thing. I know Mike has a lot of thoughts on it. It's the top story on Pro Football Talk right now. So we'll find out what Mike Florio has to say. He's going to join the show next. You can text, by the way, if you have any questions for Mike Florio, because everyone wanted football talk this morning. If you have questions for Mike, we are going to ask them for you if you text them into the Ken Otoda and West Ken Otoda text line. 560-22 is how you do that. Mike Florio joins Hollywood and Omar Kelly in for Joe and Zach. Mike Florio is next.
Radio.com.
Hey, a very good morning. Welcome back in. Hollywood and Omar Kelly in for Joe and Zach. And joining us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now is Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, good morning.
How are you guys?
We are good. Mike, we got to get into this Jameis Winston thing right off the bat here. Comes out, and I guess the Bucs released a statement yesterday that had Jameis apologizing to the Uber driver, but it didn't really say what he was apologizing for. He just kind of apologized. Is this some kind of weird, like, admission of guilt here? What's going on with Jameis Winston?
I think this entire thing was a very carefully negotiated and expertly constructed effort to resolve the suspension on a win-win basis for the NFL and for Jameis Winston. The NFL avoids another 2 months of appeals, legal fights like we saw last year with Ezekiel Elliott, where even though the NFL ultimately won and Elliott served the suspension, the NFL was exposed as having Keystone Cop investigations, kangaroo court procedures. It made the NFL look horrible. There's so much of a focus now about getting back to football. They don't want these sideshows. They don't want these fights that makes the NFL look bad. So the NFL benefits by cutting its base suspension from 6 to 3. Winston gets to very carefully construct exactly how this all comes out. He announces the suspension before the league does. The league doesn't release the letter to him explaining what he exactly did. It's all very vague. It feels incomplete. And I think the league at some level realizes in this Me Too era that if you put a 6-page letter out there like you did a year ago with Ezekiel Elliott that talks about what Winston actually did, that 3-game suspension may become a de facto end of his career. And I think that's one of the reasons why the NFL agreed to do it, because now the court of public opinion is a lot more powerful than the court of Roger Goodell.
Well, Mike, I mean, let me ask you this. You know, Jameis Winston, of course, is very popular down here as well because all the FSU people. Is he done if you know, something else happens off the field? Because I don't know how many more times this guy can screw up and still, you know, kind of get past here.
I think one of the reasons the NFL agreed to go along with this is they're confident that he is finally seeing the light. He's going to stay out of trouble. And I think he realizes, and the league realizes, if he steps on the wrong side of the line one more time, it is going to be over for him. And we'll just see if he can conform his behavior to what the NFL expects, what society expects going forward. I mean, the thing that astounds me about this, he committed this act. He groped this Uber driver while the civil lawsuit filed against him by Erica Kinsman was still pending. That's how dumb this guy is. Or it's more than dumb. There's a problem there. Keyshawn Johnson recently suggested there's some sort of a mental problem, and obviously it's impossible for lay people to diagnose that, but something's not right when you have somebody who has every reason to stay on the right side of the line just jumping over to the wrong side of it.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk is here with us. Mike, I mean, here's the thing, though, and Roger Goodell gets ripped more than any other commissioner, obviously, but shouldn't he try to have some sort of consistency? Isn't that important when you're punishing guys to have some sort of consistency so that you know what the rules are? Because it seems like every time they approach something in the NFL, it's with a different case every single time. They have no consistency.
Well, that's right, and it's a matter of bad optics. And when you look at Tom Brady getting four games for whatever it is that he did, I still think at best the evidence was inconclusive. You look at Ezekiel Elliott getting six games, period. No matter what, there was no real effort or ability to negotiate that down to anything less than six games. You see guys getting thrown out of the league indefinitely with the ability to apply for reinstatement after a year for smoking marijuana. They're just kind of all over the place. That's the sense that's been created by Roger Goodell's NFL. And I think that, I don't know if they hoped that people wouldn't put two and two together and realize they did a deal with Jameis Winston. I really don't know why they would do a deal, because this Roger Goodell's NFL doesn't typically do deals with players. But to get back to what I said earlier, I think at some level they recognize in this era, if you put that letter out there that was sent to Jameis Winston, there's a good chance that there's a groundswell of public opinion that forces the Buccaneers to cut him and maybe makes him radioactive for the other 31 teams.
Mike, your managing editor, Michael David Smith, put out a very great tweet out that's been retweeted 14,000 times, including myself. One game for Josh Brown, repeated terrorizing his ex-wife. Three games for Jameis Winston, sexual assault of an Uber driver. Four games for Tom Brady for Deflategate. 16 games for Martavis Bryant for using marijuana. Do you think that the NFL has a problem in terms of the inconsistency in disparity of these punishments?
Oh, absolutely. And look, they'll say, well, this is everything that we're entitled to do under the collective bargaining agreement. And at some point, you got to set aside the CBA and you got to ask yourself, what's right for the sport? What's right for the players? Is it smart to have guys like Martavis Bryant, Josh Gordon, Justin Blackmon? Remember him? He quit trying to get back in 4 years ago. Talented players who could make the sport better, who could make it more exciting, make it more intriguing, guys who are just arbitrarily thrown out of the league because, God forbid, they smoke marijuana. And the other suspensions in comparison, there is this sense that it's all over the map. The NFL does whatever it wants, whenever it wants, however it wants. And how dare you expect the NFL to explain itself? They don't want anybody to ask tough questions. They just want to be able to do what they want to do with no consequence. And I think people got fed up with that. For me, it started 6 years ago with the bounty scandal. That was the first time I realized that the NFL isn't as buttoned up as they want us to think they are. And I've always been willing to poke behind the surface of what they tell us and what they think a punishment should be and just say, come on, guys, are you really helping the sport by treating your workforce, the guys who make the sport what it is, this way?
Now, you've got a story up on Pro Football Talk about Jay Ajayi's and his decision to fire his agent and get a new agent. Do you think, a lot of people don't realize that part of the reason that the Dolphins did trade Jay Ajayi was because they knew that there was going to be a nasty pending negotiation for a new contract because he was pushing for it last year. Do you think that that's going to help Jay Ajayi in his crusade to be paid like a top NFL back?
Well, the timing's unusual because if you're Jay Ajayi, what have you done in Philadelphia to get the kind of money that you probably want? I'd say not nearly enough yet. He only had 7 regular season appearances last year. He wasn't spectacular in the postseason. He was good. He wasn't great. He's got to go out this year and have the kind of season that puts the Eagles in the Le'Veon Bell dilemma where, the franchise tag for running backs is so much greater than the market for veteran running backs who become free agents, that I think that's his best play, have a huge season, and then either hit the market or get the $12, $13 million franchise tag. So I don't know what he wants right now, but I don't know what the Eagles would even do for him. I think this is a play that has to wait until after the season, and it hinges upon him playing in 2018 like he did in 2016, specifically when he had those three 200-yard games. He plays like that, and then the Eagles aren't going to have a choice but to pay him.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk here with us. Mike, it's that time of the year. It's a little bit of a dead period here, and everyone's coming out with their list of the best quarterbacks, the best coaches, the best rosters, all that kind of stuff. Omar has a best quarterback list on SunSentinel.com, so I'll let him get to that in a second. But we were talking about the best roster earlier in the week, the best roster on paper right now going into the season. If you had to pick a team, who would it be?
Well, you know, it's hard to pick one which is good for the season because there really isn't a team that stands out. It's hard not to give the defending champions credit, especially when their best quarterback by far wasn't involved in the playoff run, and he's going to be presumably available and definitely motivated to earn the Super Bowl ring that he would get if they get their next one. But there just isn't a sense out there that the Eagles are destined to repeat. There hasn't been a back-to-back champion since the 2003-04 Patriots. The Eagles had never won a Super Bowl. The idea that all of a sudden they're going to win their second one, I think people just don't buy it. But I'd say that given what they did last year, given the coaching staff, even though they had some changes, that's a pretty potent roster. The Saints, I think, are a team that we had look at all the injuries last year and look how well they still did. If they can stay healthy, the Saints are a team that we had some buzz about late in the year that, hey, this could be a Super Bowl contender in 2018, and we've kind of forgotten about them. But I'd say the Saints are a team to be reckoned with. A lot of teams in the NFC have very good rosters, but I think people are going to sleep on the Eagles. And if you're the Eagles, you probably like it that way.
Now, he just teased my QB rankings. I ranked all 32 starting quarterbacks, including the three teams, which I called the either-or teams. But Ryan Tannehill falls into my unproven category. I separated the quarterbacks into four categories. Unproven happens to be one of them. Patrick Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky, Blake Bortles, Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Tannehill, and then Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you feel like that's fair company for Ryan Tannehill in terms of a quarterback who still really hasn't shown you who he is?
Yeah, and it's amazing. The guy's been around since 2012, and I think at a certain point, if he hasn't shown us who he is, maybe he has, right?
Yeah.
You either become a great quarterback or you become a clipboard holder, which there's no shame in that. You make $3-4 million a year to just be available to play. And I think this is the year that Ryan Tannehill either becomes the guy who is a consistent starter who gets into the top half of the league or close to it, or he's a guy who's destined to be someone's backup for the next 6 or 7 years.
Now, obviously, Ryan's making a lot of money. Next year is kind of an opt-in year for the team, $18.5 million. That's not bad money for starting quarterbacks, but let's just say the Dolphins do decide to move on from him if he has an average year. What do you think the market would be for a free agent Ryan Tannehill?
Well, you know, it depends on who else is available. This past year, there were a lot of free agent quarterbacks, and I think it would have been a bad year for Ryan Tannehill to be out there because teams had plenty of other options. So, you're right. $18 million sounds like a lot of money on paper, and it is. But when you can consider that the top of the market's now 30, like, is that really all that out of whack when Ryan Tannehill is hovering right around, 60% of the market? Top of the market value. So I it all depends on whether or not somebody sees him as a starter. I mean, people thought AJ McCarron would get decent money on the market this year, but when the music stopped, there was one potential starting quarterback left and there were no starting quarterback jobs. And so, he's the guy who's holding the spot in Buffalo and who knows how long he'll hold it, and he's not making very much money to do it. So, Tannehill could find himself in a numbers game next year if the Dolphins do cut him.
Now, we're sitting here on the verge of LeBron sweepstakes, and you clearly watch the NBA just because you have to. Looking at the leverage that NBA players have where they can even force trades before they become free agents like Kawhi Leonard is doing, do you think that the NFLPA looks at what's going on in that league and says, based on what's upcoming in their new CBA negotiations, that we have to help players get more control and power?
Well, in the abstract, yes, but the question becomes, what do you have to give up out of the current status quo to get players more power? And will the NFL even negotiate that? I mean, what price tag does the NFL put on giving players greater mobility? I think the one thing most players would like to get rid of is the franchise tag.
Yeah.
But, you know, would the NFL ever get rid of the franchise tag? So that thing's been there ever since true free agency, with the asterisk of the franchise tag, has been around. So I think it all comes down to, when you go into the room and you're sitting across the table, what you want is one thing. What you have to give up to get what you want is something else. And there's that push and pull, that back and forth. And I think it's always going to be difficult unless the players have real leverage. We've talked about this before. Are they willing to miss game checks? Are they willing to strike? Are they willing to shut the union down in the face of a lockout and file an antitrust lawsuit and let it play all the way out and collect the damages that would come from a full season of being illegally locked out? Until they're willing to do something like that, it's going to be very difficult to make dramatic gains at the bargaining table.
Now, Mike, if you were D'Amore Smith, what would be the one non-negotiable for you in terms of something that you're trying to gain in the next CBA deal?
The non-negotiable would continue to be expanding the regular season. And even though the NFL doesn't talk much about that anymore, I guarantee you the NFL is very interested in more regular season games, especially now that gambling is going to be available in as many states as want to pass it. I think that that is still looming. They're hoping that the NFLPA will offer it up on their own. They're hoping the NFLPA will realize that they can make a lot more money. And I would continue to call that non-negotiable, because when you finally do agree to it, I'm not saying it's non-negotiable permanently. I'm saying you enter these negotiations with that being non-negotiable, because I think that's the one thing that the NFLPA can use to get the most back that they possibly could during bargaining.
Now, would you give up the franchise tag for turning 18 regular season games to exhibition games?
Well, if that's the only way ownership's going to get it, and the NFLPA can sell it, and they've done a good job over the past 5 years of shouting down this idea of having extra regular season games, maybe ownership would. I think once ownership realizes how much more money can be made, not just on TV, because it was always about adding 2 weekends of national television. It's more now when you consider how many different ways they're going to make money off of gambling, especially during games, people making bets per play, per drive, per quarter, per whatever. And who knows? Maybe the franchise tag does go out the window if the owners decide there's just too much money in those extra 2 weeks.
He's Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Joins us every Friday here on WQAM. Mike, thanks for taking the time.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there you go. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Lots and lots of NBA stuff to get to here. So we go from football back to basketball. And anything else you want to discuss here, you can jump in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22 is everything. Is heating up this morning. The World Cup is heating up as well. The ratings are out for the World Cup, and they were massive down here in Miami. The World Cup takes a breather today. The knockout stages start tomorrow. So the World Cup is starting to get really, really interesting here. And again, the ratings have been massive in Miami, so pretty cool there. We could talk soccer. We could talk basketball. We'll talk football. We will get to your text as well when we come back here. A lot going on as things really getting busy here, especially with the Heat back in the mix, back in the sweepstakes, perhaps. We'll get to some of that and the Stephen A. Smith story when we come back here. Omar Kelly and Hollywood in for Joe and Zach.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Morning, welcome back in. Hollywood Omar Kelly along here with you, in for Joe and Zach. DQ and Tito driving the program, by the way. You know, it's funny, we were trying to decide where to do breakfast this morning. We got shut out of the Waffle House last time you were here.
Twice.
We tried to go to the Waffle House, we got shut out. So I'm curious what everyone's favorite fast food type breakfast is. Like, we need to get something quick. We're basically on like fast food alley here. On 441 over here. So there's like every possible fast food restaurant you could want. So I wanted people to text in whatever the most delicious or bizarre, whatever you want to do, thing for breakfast, and I wanted to force Omar to eat it because he got his ass kicked in our race. So you can text some stuff in here.
Hold on, wait.
What's your favorite fast food breakfast item? Or something you just want to see Omar Kelly eat.
So did I get my ass kicked in the race, or did I stumble, nearly face plant, recover myself, and catch up to you?
You lost by almost the full second. So you lost. And this is the first we've discussed the race here publicly. But listen, you lost, and you were very gracious about it. You were very nice about it. I think that it has bothered you to an extent. Post that crying Jordan face picture of you on Twitter.
Crying
got
Jordan.
A good reaction.
I love crying Jordan.
I think there were some people rooting against you in this thing, and you lost.
It was a no win situation for me.
So I actually saw, by the way, so I was thinking of who my next challenge is going to be, and I thought that I could beat Crowder. So I saw Crowder yesterday.
No way.
And I mean, apparently Crowder is in pretty good shape, and I might have bitten off more than I could chew with that one. He offered to give me a 10-yard head start, and he said he would still beat me. So, we're going to be doing a lot of.
I would take that if I were you.
Yeah, we're going to do a lot of different stuff here now.
I will acknowledge you're faster than I thought.
Thank you.
Now you wouldn't have beaten me if I hadn't stumbled and nearly face planted.
But that photo Jason posted of you when you're falling, I'm still ahead of you at that point. You do realize that,
but
right?
You do realize I'm like nearly horizontal with the ground.
Okay, so unless you were going to turn it on late there, you were going to lose the race.
No. We were same place until I stumble, which is at the point where I would have picked up speed and basically beaten you.
Okay. Whatever. I mean, you're not getting a rematch anytime soon.
I know because you refused to. It's possible. I didn't even pose the Here's what I should have done. When I stumbled, I should have stopped running.
And just given up?
No. And then rerun the race. Clearly, if I just like in the 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine, if you stumble, you get another opportunity.
But this wasn't a combine. This was like the Olympics. If you fall in the Olympics, you fall. It is what it is. I got a second chance. You can be falling in the Olympics now.
See, this from the same guy who wanted to do
it. Let's run it back. I would have ran it back. I still thought I would have beaten you, but I offered to run it back, and said no. And now you're going to have to wait patiently for a rematch.
Oh, when did you offer to run it back?
I right there. It's on the Facebook Live video. I offered to run it back with you.
I don't remember.
You also said you didn't think I could throw a football 35 yards, which I did easily.
Yes.
So you had a tough day. We'll run it back.
Let me give you some credit. One, you're a little bit more athletic than you look.
Okay.
And that's credit number one.
And I would say,
and
on
two,
the flip side, you're less athletic than you look.
Okay. well played. And two, at that point, from you riding your high of your victory, you could have thrown the ball 50 yards.
Because the
adrenaline was off the charts. You were there. Did you notice the adrenaline?
I was surprised that he was able to throw a football 40 yards.
Yeah.
He overthrew me. I was standing. He was at the 40-yard line. I was on the goal line.
His adrenaline was, he was on a high. You could look at him and see, like, he was on a high.
Well, I haven't come down from it yet because I've been ripping you all week. And
It's all good.
It felt good. I just, how about a rematch, as the texture says? I am very open to a rematch.
Oh, are you?
Again, I'd have to get people involved in it, and we'd have to work this thing out, and we'd have to have Jason figure out the terms to this thing. but yeah, man, I will do it again, and we can definitely make that happen. But
I want a longer distance than a 40.
No, it's got to be a 40.
Now it's got to be a 40?
Yeah, it's got to be a 40. I'm not a long distance runner.
You're like a six seconds runner,
yes,
right?
I'm short and fast, just like everything I do. It's got to be quick and to the point.
I'm sure your wife would testify on that big regard.
That was meant for everything. Everything I do, it's got to be quick. Yeah, Tito's doing like the mock drums back there. Yes, exactly. But yeah, whatever. people are texting in different things here now. We're getting some breakfast places.
Yeah,
that people like to visit here.
You guys
Cracker
have turned
Barrel
me on to Sonic.
Be,
Sonic.
See, here's the problem: Cracker Barrel would
it's
not be
not
considered
reasonable.
Fast food.
No,
Chick-fil-A, their breakfast is delicious. They're out of everything that is here, there is no Chick-fil-A on this road. We have literally every kind of chicken establishment you could want, except for a Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A breakfast is without a question the best possible fast food breakfast you can get.
I got to tell you,
chicken, egg, and cheese bagel.
Have you guys, has everyone tried Taco Bell's breakfast?
That's horrible. You guys it have is, made me eat that. It's horrible.
I mean, I think,
I was pleasantly surprised with the crunch right? wrap. It is good. It's good.
Unbelievably good. They have something there called the California Crunch Wrap.
Oh, my God.
I think they make like a tableside guac
just
because
you
there.
Buy
I mean,
cheese.
It's this beautiful fresh guac. They put a big hash brown in this thing, the eggs and the bacon, they wrap it up. It's really a treat.
It's diarrhea in a wrap.
It's like 800 calories, so it's not something you can do all that often.
I'm a Burger King sandwich kind of guy.
I know you're a Burger King guy. I know. Their breakfast, though, seems like it's gotten greasier over
the
years.
It has.
Is that just me?
Have you guys tried the new sourdough breakfast sandwich that Burger King has?
I'm not a sourdough fan.
I haven't tried that either.
I'm a croissant sandwich guy, which is the reason I do Burger King over McDonald's. McDonald's does nothing for me.
I love the McDonald's breakfast. I'm a big fan of the McMuffin. I don't love the McGriddle. That thing gets a little heavy. The a pancake thing kind of soaked in syrup.
Nah, nothing soaked in syrup. Yeah. I'm a croissant sandwich guy.
People can't even help us out with this breakfast thing because they're just ripping you.
Listen.
They're killing you here.
I graciously take my L. What people don't realize is I took it in stride primarily because I avoided infamous failure. Because what people don't realize is I nearly hit the canvas. Like, I nearly face planted.
Yes, you almost went down.
Yeah. So imagine, think about the effort that it takes when you're running full speed and you're nearly going to fall down on video. I didn't fall down.
Wait, are you trying to give yourself credit for not falling in a
40-yard
dash?
Absolutely, no question about it. I did not fall in a 40-yard dash. I did not create a viral video. That's a victory in my – yes, I take a loss to you. It happens.
Bro.
If I had won, we would never be discussing this, ever.
If you're taking
ever.
A moral victory from losing by almost a full second in a 40-yard dash to me.
It was not a full second. Come on.
I don't know what to tell you with where your life is at then, if that's a moral victory for you.
I was a step behind you. It was not a full second. After nearly face planting, recovering, catching up to you, like you just barely passed the line before me.
Texter says Steak and Shake has surprisingly good breakfast. I've never had Steak and Shake breakfast. I actually, up until this moment, didn't know they had breakfast.
I did not know they had breakfasts either.
McDonald's big breakfast with bacon. Einstein.
Can you get it with bacon?
I guess. I don't know.
I thought. Anyway.
Texter says Einstein Brothers. I used to work at an Einstein's.
Okay.
When I was in high school, I was like on the sandwich line. Yeah, I did. Of course I did the breakfast shift. That's like when they're busy over there. And I worked on the line and I did the cream cheese and the stuff on the bagels.
Never been a Einstein. Never. I'm not a bagel guy.
You know, it's kind of a funny twist to that is I actually got fired from Einstein's.
What was the reason
I
for
was,
your firing?
I was like 16 or 17, and they pulled me aside after we closed the restaurant one day. This is really an embarrassing story.
Oh, and, I'm definitely listening now.
And the manager sits me down and he goes, you know, I got to tell you, your heart isn't in this.
Oh.
That's what he told me, because your heart isn't in this. And I looked at him and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, we're making bagels here, man. Like, and he goes, you're out. He goes, your heart isn't in this, and you're out. You're done. Today's your last day. So I handed him my magnetic name tag, and I said, okay.
Well, you didn't even fight for your job. He wanted to see you fight for your job.
I had nothing to say. I had no response.
You weren't spreading that cream cheese with desire and heart.
I was like really blown away by that. And again, I was 17 and I was in high school, so like I didn't think it was like the end of the world, but it was.
I'm sure just about every employee can say to you, you know what, Danny, your heart isn't in this.
Yeah,
that's just how it comes across.
Have you ever been fired from anywhere? You don't have to say if you don't want to say.
I think people think that they fired me, but I'm pretty sure I've quit.
So that's like you quit 5 minutes before you knew they were going to fire you.
No. We have disagreements. My mouth, like, you're not. I'm sorry, but you're not going to like talk to me any kind of way. I don't even care if you're my boss. It's just not going to happen. And basically, we had disagreements, two jobs actually. And basically, I said, okay, I'm leaving. You deuces. I'm not coming back.
So
and
this is,
I'm sure they thought they fired me. I'm sure.
I was actually fired. Like they said, you're out. You're done.
But he didn't say you're fired.
He did. He said, okay. I mean, that he said, I have to leave. You're
did
out.
Did he use the word fired?
I don't think he said I'm fired. Like, fired's a hard... You don't say to someone you're fired. Like,
Yeah. I've never fired anybody.
Yeah, I've never fired anyone either. But
actually, I think you have.
Have I?
Actually, I think last week you fired somebody. Yeah.
Sure, all the time. You can text us on the Kendall Toda West Kendall Toda text line at 560.
He's like ignoring. 22. He's got this block in his mind that he didn't fire somebody.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have those kind of powers here. But we'll take a pause here. We're going to come back. Hollywood and Omar Kelly, we are in for Joe and Zach, and we have a lot of news to get to inside of the NBA. We're going to get to that when we come back. Stephen A. Smith had a bizarre comment yesterday. And again, I don't know if it's true. Stephen A. didn't know if it's true.
Yeah.
But if it is true, and
if you couch it with a believe,
there's someone else reporting it too. So
if you couch it with a believe, you don't even believe it.
Yeah. So let's see what Stephen A. had to say, and we'll get to whoever else. Someone else had the story as well. So a lot of NBA talk coming up next year. The 8 o'clock hours next on WQA.